Next week's parsha is so filled up with Musa, important for us. And the custom is, not going to the reasons for it, that especially on the day that's just finished, Yom Shlishi, one should say the Parshat Hamon, one of the fantastic aspects of the educational period for Am Yisrael of the desert journey. So this is brought in the parsha dealing with Ammon. And it says in chapter 15 of Shemois of Exodus, chapter 16. People have nothing to eat. So it says in verse 14 that the layer of dew went up, and lo, on the surface of the wilderness, something fine, completely without the husk, as fine as frost on the ground. And the Bnei Israel saw it, and they said to one another, "It's a gift, monhu," for they did not know what it was. But Moshe said to them, "It is the bread that God has given you for food." Now the Hebrew is, "Vayomru ish el achiv monhu, ki lo yadu mahu." And the superficial translation of this is, why was it called mon? Because it said ma. But ma is a different word to mon. So therefore, the deeper and perhaps more correct translation explanation of this verse is as follows. How many words do you know in Hebrew for the Tanakh for food?
One.
Ochel. Food.
Food.
Lechem.
Lechem.
Ochel.
Ochel.
Two. There's one.
Which are, any other words?
Man.
Mazon.
Mazon.
Mm-hmm. And Tzedah.
Tzedah.
Is food given for provision. Let's analyze the significance of these words, because the Hebrew language has deep psychological and moral truth. And the sages said it's the language the world was created, which means if you want to understand the world, study Hebrew in depth. So, we begin with the word lechem, one of the most common words, not just for bread, but for food. And in Hebrew, all nouns have as their basis a verb. Because the approach of the Torah to life is not static, it's dynamic. What do I mean? Not only do we say the whole of physical existence is not something static, but it's something which is a constant recreation. So it's an expression of the dynamics of Hashem's will. So also in life, the essence of life is activity. It's verbs. Nouns are the things that remain after activity and seem to be static. So, that's a deeper aspect. But we'll speak now about these words. Lechem is bread. What's the verb root? Lehilachem, which means to fight, battle. So the lechem expresses the struggle for sustenance, the struggle for bread, the struggle for food. the economic struggle, the worldwide economic struggle of nations one against the other. And within nations, the constant strife between the workers and the capitalists. Economic strife. And even in a non-capitalistic society, there's also strife between families, individuals. And one of the major sources of strife is food, sustenance. That's one aspect of food, lechem. Mazon is connected with root, which means the sword, fighting with the sword. Even on today, weapons are called clay zion, and even the pictograph of the Aleph Beit, the letter Zion, has the shape of the sword. That's mazon, fighting. Now, what about tzeda? Comes through to trap, to hunt. Because people often have to hunt for food. They hunt animals, sometimes they hunt human beings to take their food away and take it to themselves. So this, all has to do with fighting. The constant struggle of life is expressed in all these words of food. Ochel is more the way in which Aleph is the individual, is the concept of consumption. For example, we find the word, the verb, achila, also, in what we had a few weeks ago in the parsha of the week, concerning the burning bush. It was consumed in fire, velo ukal. It did not become consumed, because the root kala means to finish something totally. So this is the concept of food also. We take the food, and as it were, we transform the food within the body into energy. So this even the term calories is connected with the root ochal. So this is really the active procedure of eating and consuming. And today, with one of the aspects of the economic strife is the society becomes basically a consumer society, where people try to consume as much as they can, and most businesses are based upon the consumer who wants to use goods. People therefore produce goods and make a profit because of the appetites of the consumers, of the consumer society. But there's also another aspect to food, which is the man which came from heaven. Because the 40 years wandering in the desert, where they had no food, no natural food, they went in the desert and they knew what's going to happen in the desert with food. And when they even afterwards had to wander for 40 years, they must have imagined, how are we going to survive in the desert when we've got no food to eat? So Hashem created this miracle of daily food. And how it's described in the Parshas Hamon, it had special characteristics. And there was enough food for each individual, the portion that he needed. He was given that which would satisfy him, would satisfy the family, so many portions. And people, if they wanted to hoard some, they'd say, eat less today to have more tomorrow, it rotted away. You couldn't hoard it. If they were commanded not to hoard, and they were also commanded not to go out on the Shabbos, on Shabbos, nothing fell. On Friday, a double portion fell. And that, it says even there, they had to prepare one portion for the Shabbos. Even the double portion. Otherwise they were given for Friday and they were given double for Shabbos. They were given extra. So this was the lesson education. It's referred to, it says like this, this is the command of Hashem. Each person should gather it according to the need of his nourishment, not more, one omer per head, according to the number of the members of the family, that each one take for the members of his tent. When they measured it, they found there was nothing left over. And the person said, well, I don't need to gather so much. So he didn't gather it all, so he had too little. It turned out it was given each one according to what he needed. So Moshe said, no one should leave it until the morning. And then it says, furthermore, about the Shabbos, there would be rest, and Shabbos they were not allowed to go out. And then it says in verse 32, important lesson. Moshe said, this is the matter which Hashem has commanded, let one omerful of it be preserved for your descendants, so that they will see the bread which I fed you in the desert when I brought you out from the land of Egypt. You have to see it. And in Sefer Devarim, it's described even more. The purpose of the mon was leman anasenu imelech b'toratim lo. It's a test to see if the people of Israel can learn how to walk in the path of Torah. So all this illustrates another name for food and sustenance called mon, because mon comes in the root to appoint a portion. I mean, like the word minyans, numbers, but the word mana is a good modern Hebrew word for a portion of food. You have so many manot. So here the manot were given not by the cook, they were given by Hashem. Each one got a mana for that day. And you had nothing for tomorrow. And this is referred to as walking the path of Torah. The sages say that someone who is worried all the time what's going to happen tomorrow, that fills his mind, he won't be able to walk in the path of Torah. Because the path of Torah is based upon trust in Hashem and recognizing that each person's given his portion. And also he shouldn't think that he can take somebody else's. Person's got to know that's my portion, what Hashem has given me, and I have to use it to keep myself strong and healthy, my family, and Hashem gives me what I need. That was the level on which the people of Israel lived when they were wandering through the desert, which was really a miraculous level. But it was a big test to learn to be happy with such a situation. As the sages say, it's really the same concept. They say, who is really rich? Not from an external Forbes list angle, which gives us the richest people in the world, but who is really most rich in his life, the person most happy. Amongst those on the Forbes list, there are very many unhappy people. There was a multimillionaire, I think it's called Hughes, who for many years he did not feel secure anywhere in the world, because there were so many people after him to go and rob him. We know what unfortunately happened to quite a few millionaires, how they were pursued by criminals.
People were the lottery.
And this Hughes, was the, I think at the time considered the richest man in the world, used to live in penthouses of hotels, and he flew from one to the next. Like even today, it's well known. The millionaires, they hide their identity, many of them. When some of them come here to Israel, you now try to get hold of them. You know, they're not in this hotel, not that hotel. And they keep it a secret. In fact, the most posh hotel in Yerushalayim, which I visited quite a few times, we know indirectly they must be in that hotel, not in any other hotel. But you won't find out that they're there from the front desk, or even you phone through. They hide. This operative was hiding, so he had his own plane, and from one foreign penthouse hotel, from one end of the world to the other end of the world, people couldn't catch him. I know one person, in fact I knew myself, a very rich man in England, and I suppose he got in people after him in different ways. So he committed suicide. He had his own yacht and went out into the seas and threw himself into the sea. People are miserable.
Did he give a donation?
So therefore the sages say, who is the richest man? Hasameach b'chelko. If he's happy with his portion. Now the same word chelko is menot chelki, David HaMelech says. Hashem gives you the portion for my part in life. Give him what I've got. If a person is happy with his own portion, then he's got everything that he wants. And this is illustrated also by the confrontation between Yaakov and Esau when they met, and Yaakov brought so many presents for Esau, and Esau also gave presents to Yaakov and wanted to give them to him. So Yaakov said, please, I don't want your presents, yeshli kol. I've got everything. I don't need any presents. I prefer not to have any presents. Then Yaakov said to Esau, maybe take my presents. And he persuaded. And Esau first said, no, yeshli rov, I've got a great deal. You keep what you've got, and I've got a lot. So Yaakov tried to persuade him, please take. So he said, okay, I will take. And he took. But he took it when he was insisting. Yeah, but Yaakov wouldn't take the present from Esau. I've got everything I need. And that is the spirit which we have to build up in our lives. It's even necessary. You've seen it in yeshiva life also. There are many people in yeshivot when they're young, and their mind is constantly, and it says, not only their mind, their parents' mind, even more so, they're saying, what are you doing sitting in the yeshiva where you're not earning money? When you've got a good mind, you could use it to earn money. Aren't you worried what's going to happen? How are you going to be able to get married? What will you do?
That's true.
So the outlook you have to have is, if I have enough here to keep it going, keep it out of your mind. You got, of course, you need practical advice. Depends for who, at which stage. Because the Torah says you've got to have your feet on the ground as well. But in spirit, when you're learning, you can best learn if you take away those worries from your mind. Because you won't think what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen next year. You won't make such good progress. I mean, there are students, in any case, they're not really making much progress, and they would be doing better, preparing themselves also for a career. Take advice. But still, the major spirit is, so if you go, when you do go in the career, and you'll also have problems of this nature. But if your attitude is, if I've got enough now so I can grow in my character, do good deeds, sometimes in life it's easy, sometimes it's difficult, but if you know that Hashem gives me every day what I need, that will change your life and make you happy. You won't get depressed. And that's the lesson, one of the lessons to be learned from the concept of the mon. Each one's given a portion which will give him the ability to survive.